Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Blackbusters.
What's cracking, family? What it is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, show your ride and all that. I'm your host, Big Jai, and this is Blackbuster, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the jive-ass world, Craig.
In the jive-ass world, Craig. You know what I'm saying? I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I'm your host, Big Jai, along with my co-host.
Hollywood Tones, sucker. Chive-ass. I got you,
Yeah,
boy.
Man. As you can see, we over here talking that talk, that ism, if you will. I'm in the Daishiki.
Yeah.
Real good, 70s. Real soul brother.
Yeah.
You know, in honor of this movie we're doing today, we're going to review a dope-ass classic to me, because it's one of the movies that sparked so many other great films.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I'm wearing Daishiki in honor of the 70s and the Soul Brother, the world, you know, like you said, Soul Brother number one and all that.
Yeah.
And we were doing Uptown Saturday Night Live. Correction, Uptown Saturday Night.
Mm-hmm.
I always call it
Always
Saturday
at the Live, yeah.
Because
yeah,
of the,
I did that too.
Yeah, Uptown Saturday Night.
Yeah.
And it's a film starring Sidney Poitier, Bill Cosby, and Harry Belafonte.
Yeah.
Written by Richard Wesley and directed by Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
Man, dope.
I love this movie.
This is just a comedy, a basic run-of-the-mill, this...
Caper.
Yeah. It's a simple...
Yeah.
Hood... Good comedy, good tale to me.
I love this movie.
And so here's the thing: depending on your age, and I mean, I don't really remember the age range of the people that watch the show the most, but this is an older film.
Yep,
it's before our time.
Before our time,
the movie came out in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's a 70s film, hence the Daishiki and the Jive Turkey language.
Yep.
This is an older movie that I watched as a little boy because my father had it on, my uncle had it on VHS and stuff like that. So I watched it, and it's Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Bill Cosby fan.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch all the movies that he was in.
Yep.
And this is crazy because Bill Cosby plays like the crazy one. He plays the troublemaker, the mischievous man.
Because for people of our generation, our first introduction to Cosby is Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable.
Yeah.
Right?
A doctor.
Dr. Huxtable.
A pediatrician.
Right. You know, and so he's Dr. Huxtable. He's America's dad.
Yes.
He's Jell-O Pudding Pop.
Jell-O Pudding Pop. Aww.
Right? So to see him as just like, just a block boy.
A block boy. He says, man, I would have knocked him out because I'm from off the block. I'm from off the corner.
Yes. I'm from off the corner.
Yeah.
To see him play that and... is so authentic.
Yeah.
Like
he looked like I remember seeing, I used to think of Bill Cosby as Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable.
Uh-huh.
And Richard Pryor was the alley cat.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pool hall guy.
Yep.
He's the guy that's gonna be in the pool hall smoking the joint. But in this movie, Uptown Saturday Night, Wardell Franklin.
Wardell.
That's Bill Cosby's name. Wardell Franklin. Mm-hmm. He plays like a dude that he wants to go to the after hour spot. He wants to go chase tail. He got a wife at the crib.
Yeah.
But he still want to go look at the women.
He want to go to Zenobia's.
He want to go to Zenobia's.
Yeah.
Zenobia's is a place for where married men shouldn't be.
Right, right.
He want to be there, though.
That's where he
want to
be.
And he want his best homeboy to go.
Man. We'll talk about when they get to Zenobia's.
Yeah.
But, like, Sydney is great as a fish out of water character here. Sydney's just a regular guy.
Regular steel mill guy. Works in the factory.
Works a job, you know. Mm-hmm. I love blue the fact collar. That he was telling his wife it was your buns.
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
Thank you, bro. You let it be known, man. Like, Sidney Poitier plays Steve Jackson. Mm-hmm. Steven Jackson, he works in a mill, like a metal factory.
Metal plant.
Yeah, So, and he like... He deals
steel
with
mill.
Steel mill.
Yeah.
He does a very job. Low key look dangerous, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he works. He has a regular family, wife, and two or three kids. Three kids, I believe.
Yeah, that were gone.
He said 20 years.
Yeah.
And three kids.
Yeah.
And he's a regular blue collar worker.
Hardworking man.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, and he has a wife that loves him, and he loves his wife.
He goes to church every Sunday. She's singing the choir.
He's the kind of guy that on his downtime, he comes outside and just watches other guys play cards.
Yes. Yeah.
He's just a regular dude.
He's a square bear.
And then who pulls up when he goes outside to chill?
Mm-hmm.
Wardell.
My man, Franklin. Wardell.
Like his best partner.
Driving the cab. Let me buy you a drink on your day off.
Let me buy you a drink on your day off.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
And then now they're talking. They're having a drink. And Bill Cosby's character, Wardell, is drinking shots.
He's drinking a shot.
And Sidney Poitier is having just a regular tall beer.
Yeah, just a beer.
Just a beer.
Because that's what a regular man has.
That's what a regular man has.
Yeah.
But Wardell's trying to turn up. So he like, hey, man, check this out. Tonight,
mm-hmm.
Let's go to Zenobia's.
Let's go to Zenobia's.
And he was like, nah, man, we ain't got no money for that. He was like, so what? We ain't going to never have no money for that.
Right, right.
If we wait no money...
We ain't never gonna go.
We're never gonna go.
But I heard the babes is hot.
He says, yeah, I get it, man. But no. The babes is hot. Yeah. And they out there.
Right.
It's cracking.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, Lewis.
Yeah.
Hey, tell him, man, tell this fool about Zenobia's.
Yeah.
He said, what is it to tell?
Yeah.
He said, is this a place that you're gonna go to and you ain't gonna never
you
wanna
ain't
leave?
You gonna never wanna leave. Come on.
Yeah, and so and Sidney Poitier is being Steve Jackson is like the responsible one.
Yeah, he's the responsible one.
You know what I'm saying? But he's still a dude that loves women.
Yeah.
Hence, he's telling his wife, like you said, yeah. The reason that drew me to you was your big old butt. You got yams, baby.
Yep.
That's why you my
wife. Very clear. And he was like, we was up against that tree and I was pressing up on you.
Man, you loved it.
And you loved it when I pressed up on you. I was like, yeah. So like, as square bear regular as he is,
mm-hmm.
He's into the buns. He's just not as hip as Wardell.
Yeah.
Wardell is slap me some five on the black hand side mm-hmm. all the way.
Right.
And it's Wardell that like
eggs him on.
It keeps the movie going.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, because they show up at Zenobia's. They decide to go to Zenobia's.
He talks him into going.
Yeah, he talks him into going.
They show up with their Sunday's best.
Mm-hmm. And Wardell already got a plan on how to get in.
He said, how
are
we
going to
get in? We don't got no money. We don't have no voucher.
No reputation. Nobody
knows us. Nobody vouching for us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, man, just follow my lead, man. Let me do all the talking. Because he said, man, just act important.
Yep.
Act like you somebody. And that's the only way they're ever going to get into Zenobia's was like act important.
Because they didn't have no rep. They clothes wasn't really fly. They were dressed nice.
They were dressed fancy for their standards.
For their standards, but not for Zenobia standards, right? Like, you know, they kind of was a little bit regular.
Because Zenobia is the spot you walk into, you want to stand out.
Yes.
You and your lady, if you with your lady, she going to be dressed to the nines, and you are too, and your homeboy are as well.
Yes.
When they walked in, didn't nobody pay attention to them.
This is where you
out.
Have the coats.
Yeah.
This is where you have the hats.
Uh-huh.
This
the
is
big
like
old hats.
Big old hat. You
to
know,
the side.
Big old side. This is the bread spot.
Yeah.
People here have bread.
Uh-huh.
And so, But he had his little letter.
And in 1974, before you get there,
yeah,
in order to have bread in 1974, you had to either do some shit that was low-key illegal.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Illegal-ish.
Right.
To get that kind of bread to where you can go to Zenobia's and just chill.
And just chill.
For hours.
And have a good time.
And have a good time. And you said that he had the letter, right?
He had the letter. So my man Wardell, you know, took the stationery from where his wife worked and basically wrote up a letter that said, you know, these two guys are, men from the diamond business.
Yeah.
The story was just enough to be like, okay.
All right.
That you passed the test.
That letterhead passed it. They don't even know who wrote the letter.
Yeah, they don't even
personally.
Know.
Personally.
Yep.
They said, but whoever wrote this letter is part of this company. Mm-hmm. The letterhead legitimizes that letter.
That's what got them through the door.
Yeah.
And they got in, man. They was looking.
They were staring almost like.
Yeah.
Like if there was a problem. They were staring in like confusion.
Yeah.
Like they were, they couldn't believe what they were looking at.
Yeah.
Like, this and is that how they were there. Live. They was like, they were walking around like this.
Yeah. Yeah. They were staring at the cleavage.
Man.
The girls was looking at them up and down, not feeling them.
Yeah.
Zenobia comes down. She was classy.
She came down and spotted Steven Jackson from the stairs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But he had a little game, though.
Yeah, bruh. Hints. His wife, Sarah, was fly.
Exactly.
And she had cakes.
Yeah.
He got the biggest butt I ever seen. I had to have you.
As square as he is, there's a charm. I mean, that's the power of Sidney Poitier just as an actor, all his characters. Mm-hmm. There's a charm to Steve.
Yeah.
You know, he's even though he's always seems like he's in over his head and out of his league, but there's a charm to the way he navigates.
Right.
And then he, you know, and Zenobia was like, you know.
She came out here.
I forget what the line was, but he was like, yeah, I'm having fun already. Or I see something I like now. She said,
fellas, how you doing? I'm Adam Zenobia. How you doing? I'm Steven Jackson. This is my partner here, Wardell Franklin.
Yeah.
She's like, pleased to meet you, fellas. He's like, first time? He was like, yeah, we haven't been. It's our first time.
Yeah,
okay, well, cool. Well, I hope you enjoy yourself. You know, there's a lot of things that you can have fun with.
Yeah.
He says,
I already see something.
And she said, she said, oh, you own one.
Yeah, you
own that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He says, well, fellas, we got music, we got dancing, we got ladies. He says, we got, if you're really feeling nice, we got the red room.
Yeah,
that's all the way in the back.
Man, they made a beeline to the red room.
He said, "What's in the back?" He says, "What's in that? What's in that red room?"
Yeah,
she said, "Happiness."
Yeah, I love
it.
Happiness.
She said, mm-hmm. or sadness depends on how your night goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we was like, "Huh?" The interest was still peaked
because I thought so. And did she say sex? At some point,
I thought she did, but she said sadness.
Sadness, okay.
She said happiness.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Our sadness."
Yeah,
but it did sound like she said sex.
Yeah, not because you could definitely smash in Zenobia's upstairs.
Right, yeah,
you know, there's working girls up there.
They're cracking. Madam Zenobia is a madam.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like this is her business.
Uh-huh.
She's in the business of pleasure,
and she was sweet.
Yeah,
she didn't seem like a low down, little scoundrel as a woman. She seemed like a cool chick. But this is the 70s. This is the jive turkey. This is the how you be. What it is.
Yep.
It's that time where everybody's free. You know what I mean?
I loved it.
Yeah,
they go down to the red room. I love how comfortable Wardell starts getting, right? Like, you know, he's feeling himself.
Huh?
They at the crap table. I love Baby Girl on the Dice.
Oh,
I
man. Love Baby Girl on the dice.
Oh, my God. She was fantastic.
Yes. Yes, she was.
Baby Girl on the Dice was so fun. You know.
Juanita Brown.
Yeah, they get to gambling. And she's on a heater. And the more she keep rolling them dice, the more shit Wardell get to talking, which I thought was hilarious.
Yes.
He was, you know, put your number down. They was caking up.
Yeah, she was cracking so much, they got cocky.
Yeah.
Well, he got cocky.
Yeah, he got cocky.
Steve Jackson was still a little nervous.
Steve was trying to, like, every time she hit, Steve was trying to get a little bit of the money. he was trying to get a little bit of the bread.
Yes.
I thought that shit was tight.
It was
so fun.
It was.
And Kaz was so good at it. Like, you know.
He was so natural. Like, you could tell. I feel like him playing Heathcliff Huxtable was acting.
Yeah.
I mean, that was still part of his personality.
Or an older version of the same guy.
There you go. There you go. That's a better way of explaining it. Right. Yes, because he was so square and so comfortable being square.
Right.
He had no intentions on going out. He was happy with his wife.
Listen, he liked his jazz.
Liked his jazz. His hoagies.
He liked his hoagies. Uh-huh. He liked his jazz. Uh-huh. He liked his hoagies. His kids was always annoying. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, he had his wife.
For him. Yeah.
You know, he had his friends that would come by the crib. Mm-hmm. You know, but he was like, yeah, he was Heathcliff Huxtable.
Yeah.
He was done with the fun.
He was done with the fun, and him and Claire used to get it cracking in that
they
bed.
They used to get it cracking in the bed.
Yeah.
He used to talk about how he was Heathcliff Combustible Huxtable
combustible
when he was in college.
Huxtable.
He was running track.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Playing football. He was, yeah.
Yeah, so we get to see this older version of him.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, by the time Cosby Show starts, Denise is already in college.
Uh-huh.
So this is like 20 years.
Yes.
You know, after, you know, he and Claire got married.
Uh-huh.
So we see a guy that maybe like used to be cool.
Right.
But all we can see is a daddy. When you see him in that element, you're like, man, Cosby's cool as hell.
Super cool.
Cool as hell.
And I'm like, this is crazy because I'm like, I'm excited to see it. At that time, as 1974, I wasn't even alive. So I had to go back and watch Uptown Saturday Night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, man, he was super cool.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because he was physical.
Yes.
And even in the part two, we'll watch that too.
Mm-hmm.
Uptown Saturday Night, the second one, or it's called Let's Do It Again.
Let's Do It Again.
Let's Do It Again. That's the one I saw first, believe it or not.
Mongo Slave.
When they was running around the city.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, man, I was just tired watching them. Yeah. They was in shape and moving.
And they was visually like, you know, like the way, especially Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Like he looked like a round the way guy.
Yeah.
Just a regular cat. It's so cool to see him at that.
Right.
So Richard Pryor has an autobiography that he wrote. I think Prior Intentions. Anyway, in the Richard Pryor biography, Bill Cosby is the coolest character. Whenever Cosby shows up, like, it's almost like he's the cool guy, right? And it totally plays out. He's a fast talker. He's smooth. Yes. He's a great liar.
Uh-huh.
He's full of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Got little hands on them too.
Had some hands with him.
Man, he said, say, man.
Uh-huh.
He said, say, man.
Yeah.
Look for him talking to you. Hey, what you want, man?
Yeah.
What? Bop, bop, beam, bop.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He came in. He beat dude up.
When he walked in the spot, he was like, I'm serious about my bread.
Yeah. Out the blue. He said it like he was arguing with somebody.
Right.
He went in there. He was like, okay, so we got to act the part. Once again, Zenobius, we got to act like we belong there.
Uh-huh.
So we walking up into this juke joint. And this pool hall, we got to act like we know what we're doing. Yeah, so I'm about my bread. Anybody that's opposed to me getting my bread is going to have to see me this bad boy. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And Sydney's like, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. He see what Kaz, because Kaz hemmed up, homie.
Yeah.
Like, hemmed up, homie, you know what I mean? Like, put hands
two,
on him.
Three piece of bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, it was legit. It was legit. And this started egging
for no reason.
For no reason. But you got to understand, this is what I love about this movie is that, like these guys are separated from that life, right? Because I was thinking about, like when Geechee Dan and the other guy was at the picnic. Like, how come nobody was like, they the criminals? It's just because, like, the regular folk didn't know who they were.
Right.
The guys had to piece the information together.
Right.
They got the information when they went to that spot where Lil Sylvester?
Lil Seymour.
Uh-huh. The one that put them on the lead to that was Baby Girl from the Dice Game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She was out there.
Which was hilarious because they go see the congressman. Like, he's full of shit. He puts on his dashiki.
That's why I got the dashiki on. The congressman he put the dashiki on for the black folks. He was like, man, who's coming in?
Yeah.
She was like, oh, you got some visitors. He was like, oh, Congressman Lincoln.
Yeah.
He was like, cool. He was like, yeah, so my constituents. No. This is his regular brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Flips the Richard Nixon off.
Richard Nixon to Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
And take the nice suit off and put it on the dashiki.
Brothers. Perfect. Uh-huh. And he does all of that bit. He's like, you know, super brother. I don't know nothing about Zenobia's. His wife walks in, and the way she responds when they all recognize each other was perfect. Brother!
What's going on? Y'all was there when I was on that table knocking them down.
Yeah, I loved it. She was there goes a time where she goes to Congressman Lincoln. She goes like, this nigga crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Man.
It was so
Leggy
perfect.
Peggy is who we talking about. Paula perfect. Kelly played Leggy Peggy because she was tall, had them long legs.
Yeah, yeah. And had the afro puff.
With the side puff. Had the afro on top of the puff to the side.
Yeah.
Oh, nah, she was dope.
Yeah.
And she had frame.
Yes.
And she's just so for the streets. Yeah. Not necessarily giving her box out, but she a party girl.
Right.
She got a square husband that's an undercover party boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's just a fake ass politician.
Yeah.
And she was like, I hate going to them spots with him.
Uh-huh.
So I had to be around my people.
Yeah.
So he took me to Zenobia's. We had fucking fun.
And he was like,
yeah.
Oh, Zenobia's.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had fun. We let our hair down.
She was like, this nigga
crazy. Leggy Peggy.
Yeah. But she was the one that put him on the path.
Yeah.
And so now that, you know, because before that, they strike out it was an interesting role for Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, it was an interesting kind of
con man
Sharp Eye character.
Sharp Eye Washington.
Yeah. It was interesting. His little cameo was pretty good. He, you know, plays a squirrely cat. But once these guys start getting in, you know, kind of into deep, the movie is just really fun for me. Right? Uh-huh. It's just fun for me to see them get into capers and get out of capers, you know, when you know, Cosby get to, you know, talking his way out of stuff,
yeah.
Talking his way into stuff. It's just like, man, this movie feels like a good ride.
Right.
It's a good fun ride.
Agreed. Yeah, man. I totally agree with it, bro. Uptown Saturday night, that's where they went. They went uptown on Saturday night to go chill at Zenobia's, and it backfired. They don't have no money. They scrounged up their bread, went out, and Zenobia's gets robbed, right?
Yeah, which considering how difficult it was to get in, and that they was on a whole nother second room, the robbery did seem a little easy.
Yeah, what about because the second room
we got security in the front, security in the back.
They came through the side door.
Oh, was it the side door?
Yeah.
Okay.
They
didn't come through the same. Okay. I got it. Side door straight to the red room.
But when the couple that came in late.
Yeah. They came through the front door. A little continuity error.
Yeah.
To be forgiven. But you know.
Exactly.
But and the fact that they got through, because there was a gang of people in that top room.
Just to get to the red room.
They had to, you know, four men, you know, in basically black stockings got through that room.
Yeah, semi-automatic
enough
automatic
to be down
weapons.
There. And then, you know, so that part.
Yeah.
That part kind of falls apart because there was a gang of people in muscle in
unless
that house.
They had two or three guys in that room too, but we would have to see that.
Right, we would have to see
a six-man job or something like that.
Yeah.
They came in, stuck the place up, and I was waiting to see if old girl that said, I don't wear no panties.
I couldn't wait to see that. I know, that's somebody's grandmama, but at this point, I was like, let me see.
She said, I don't wear no drawers.
Yeah.
He was like, you heard me, girl. Take it off.
I needed to see them 70s tits.
And he said, my. God damn. Yeah. Like, that was a cool little scene.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't need to be there, but they put it in there on purpose. Mm-hmm. Wonder why. I ain't wearing no drawers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay? You gotta take it off.
But that's what shows you that they was in their element. They was making a movie. It's still blaxploitation.
Yes.
Right? So they making a movie and they was like, yeah, that's a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and unfortunately, Bill Cosby probably was like, yeah, she the one. You know what I mean? Like
Bill Cosby.
You know, Bill was probably like, she the one.
Uh-huh.
But it was great. And then took their money, took their winnings, take Steve's wallet, and then the next day he find out that
he won a lottery.
He hit the numbers.
He found out he hit the numbers in the newspaper.
Yep, yep.
And was about to like go grab his ticket to confirm it, and he couldn't find his wallet because he remembered they jacked me as Zenobius.
Yeah.
Had he not been as Zenobius, he wouldn't have never got robbed.
This is true.
And he would have had that that lottery ticket in his wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Now he got to go find that lottery ticket.
Yeah, yeah. And he called his man Wardell up. Wardell was with the business.
Hey, man, I help you, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
There was I'm not going to find it, but let's try it.
There was no, you know, there was no hesitation.
Right.
I got you, homeboy. Let's do it.
Uh-huh.
That's so great.
They first went to private investigator?
They first was trying to get the info on their own.
Right.
Had Kaz out there dressed in all black with the leather.
He got picked up.
He got picked up. So that part fell apart.
Sydney over there staring at everybody.
Exactly. The gay guy. We get a classic 70s gay joke.
A classic 70s gay joke. And the dude didn't even look gay until he looked gay.
Yeah.
He said.
Yeah, that's a great joke. Like,
that's hilarious.
We keep it that.
Uh-huh.
And then after Kaz gets arrested, that's when they decide to go to, you know, to see the private investigator.
Sharp Eye Washington. Yeah.
That Richard fails. That's how they then end up at the councilman's.
Yes,
where they link up with Leggy Peggy, and she gives them the first real lead.
Yeah, clue.
You know,
to the spot, and then and Lil Seymour.
Yep,
and they got a bodyguard called Big Percy. Now be careful, Big Percy ain't the one to be playing with.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
Big Percy, and even Lil Seymour, who was you familiar with the Nicholas Brothers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of the Nicholas
Five
brothers.
Heartbeats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. That ain't just like I thought. That ain't shit.
That is shit. So that was, they got fucked up.
Yeah. Harold Nicholas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They got messed up.
Little Seymour Pettigrew. That's a 1970s name for your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Seymour Pettigrew.
Little Seymour Pettigrew. I'm Little Seymour. Uh-huh. Now I'm Big Percy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, because his story, you know, like they've used that trope, like I'm sick, I have, but the way he told it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way he told it, like, was making sense.
And act outs?
Yeah. I just kind of act out. And him, his mama, you know what I mean? So, so it just all, like, shows that they're in over their heads, but they're also thinking their way through it.
Trying to talk themselves.
They're
out
trying
of
to
the situation.
Talk themselves into the situation, which was dope.
Yeah. Lil Seymour wasn't giving a damn. He let him finish everything. He says that story you just told was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Now you didn't loud talk me, nigga. Nobody loud talk Lil Seymour."
Right. Right. Right.
Oh no! I didn't loud talk you. See, actually, he is the one that loud talked
you.
But
he didn't say nothing about your mom.
He didn't say nothing about your mama.
Yeah. Damn. Great. Just great scenes.
Yeah, dog.
Great scenes. What did you think of Harry Belafonte's Geechee Dan?
Okay.
It was if he looked weird.
He looked weird. To see Harry Belafonte do other films and other roles, it was dope to see him do something like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shows his acting ability, his range.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Him basically playing the Godfather.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He basically,
got something in his mouth the whole time. He got, he's eating the egg raw. And,
taking a shot of wine or Ripple or whatever that was.
Right, right.
Night Train, Night Port.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked it. It
was believable.
It was believable, no, for sure. But he was more silly though. At first he was
thuggish.
Mm-hmm. But he became more silly at the end. I was like, it's a comedy. I get it. But your boy, was the Calvin Lockhart, Silky Slim.
Man,
I loved his character.
He was, why, like, I was trying to do some research.
Why haven't you seen him in the other
shit? Why wasn't he the leading man of leading men? Like, he was handsome, right? Like, you know, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Like, he should have did a lot more. Right. I mean, I'm looking at his IMDb, and he's worked, right? Like, you know, he's worked for years, but nothing really big, right? Yeah. Just all just kind of like, you know, bit parts, but he was great.
He was great. He was great. Silky Slim with the name and everything.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Silky Slim.
That's a great name.
And the voice.
Yeah.
Voice, very commanding, very authoritative, to the point where Steve and Wardell could recognize his voice from the stick up.
Yeah. Felt like he was in control, you know, the whole time. I mean, like, the whole heist part makes sense. There's nothing, you know, like it's quick thinking on Wardell to, you know, try to get in a situation or circumstance where he leads them on to believe that the diamonds are back at the office.
Yeah.
You know, like they stay committed to getting that lottery ticket, right?
Like, Sidney Poitier, Steven Jackson was like, I got to find this lottery ticket.
Yeah.
It's 50,000.
I got to.
Like, and 50,000 in 1974, what do you think that, what do you think that translates to now?
Like $400,000.
Probably so.
$450,000.
Because this is 74. This is back when probably a loaf of bread was probably like 15 cents.
Yeah. This was, like, Steve was talking like, this is life-changing money.
Yeah.
This is life-changing money. And a regular Joe like me ain't never going to come across this type of bread. This is my one shot.
Right.
This is my one opportunity to fundamentally change my circumstance.
Right. Real quick. Why didn't they show the kids?
Why didn't they?
Yeah. Budgets? Because the kids could easily be like, hey, Dad, how you doing? Come out the room and go back in the room.
The way that I interpreted it is because the wife says, let's paint the room for when the kids get back. Give them something to see. So I don't know if they was little kids just at their grandma's or somebody's foot, you know, because Steve is on vacation. He's taking 2 weeks vacation, but he ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Right? So maybe they sent the kids away, you know. I didn't get the impression that they were young, but, like, I didn't get the impression that they were college age either.
No. Even if they were, all three of them not in college.
Yeah.
But they've been married for 20 years. So these kids is teenagers.
And
11, 12. The baby is probably 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The daughter's probably 17. Yeah. The son is 15.
So maybe budget.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
like, maybe budget, like, or maybe maybe that was like a cutting room floor, you know what I mean? Right. Like, you know, kind of thing where, like, you know, it just kind of like, you know, couldn't happen. But I think, you know, like the way Kaz moves, the way the characters move, Flip Wilson, like everybody that shows up, like, does their part. Like, it feels like a black ensemble cast. Yes. You know, in the who's who.
I was about to say, Flip was, we didn't mention that Flip was in it. Flip and Richard were in it.
Mm-hmm.
Two great comedians, two legendary comedians. And Harry Belafonte, Sidney Poitier, Bill Cosby.
Roscoe Lee Brown.
Yes.
Like, I mean, the movie has damn near everything that you want.
Yes.
Like, you know, from a character standpoint.
Right.
I mean, Rosalind Cash, you know, she plays the doctor in Tales from the Hood.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, so she stayed working over the years.
Yeah.
It's good. And the thing is that, like, to be a low budget movie, and we know it was a low budget movie because all of these movies were low budget. Sidney did a great job with it. Like, you know, like it works. It ends abruptly.
Right.
Like, you know, basically, you know, they get to the church picnic, and these niggas is wilding at the church picnic. Geechee Dan and Silky they're trying to smash something.
at the church. I had this fun, this much fun since I was a little boy.
Yeah. They got to chilling. But ultimately, you know, Steve was willing to jump off a bridge to get the bread. And the movie basically ends with them in the hospital, but they got the ticket. right? Right. Like, you know, and that's it. So, like, the movie literally runs out of gas right at the end. Like, you know, and we're through. But it was just a good, you know, it was a good, fun ride.
And it was like, where is Wardell? Oh, he's in Nether Wing.
Yeah. We don't even need to see him no more.
So, I feel like it reminded me of a play.
Mm-hmm.
So, even when if you walk, the opening scene is like the living room.
Yeah.
That's,
it almost looked like kitchen. Raising in the Sun.
Yes. And he's sitting there in the middle of the doorway. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Steve? Yeah, yeah, Steve?
Yep.
What you thinking about living in the country? Well, I live in the country. I don't mind that. I'm mm-hmm. from the country. You know that.
Yep.
You're right. I'm thinking about moving back one day. That would be nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they just start talking.
It was blocked like a play.
Yes.
You know, he would go from this spot to the chair. And then she comes in next to the chair.
The food down.
Yeah.
He gets up and walks away from the dinner table mm-hmm. and sits down in the chair.
Very much like a play. But even like some of the action scenes, like the scene where they just finished kind of confessing to Geechee Dan. And Geechee Dan's like, you know, go ahead and kill him. And the way they keep, like, trying to fight their way back.
The cameras are staying there. Yeah, they keep falling back into the camera, yeah. into the scene, yeah. the shot.
Like, that, as cheesy as that is, it shouldn't work, but I was rolling.
It was funny.
I thought it was funny. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Just because they were
overacting.
Yeah. Everybody's, you know, and it's just like, you know, like, that type of joke. Like it would be ballsy to try for that kind of laugh because right. so much of what today's content makers and filmmakers do is a little bit more, you know, serious.
Yeah.
And there's a patience, you know what I mean, that the audience is going to wait and watch, right? Yeah. And appreciate, you know, these guys trying to get out of the situation. Yes. So just like, to me, I was just like, that's just funny. It's funny. It works. Uh-huh. It's comedic to me.
I thought it was great. Even Flip Wilson, I feel like he was ad-libbing that whole sermon.
I felt
that sermon.
Yeah.
About, was it people in your business?
Yeah, and loose lips.
Loose lips. I feel like they were just letting him cook.
Man, I felt like Flip Wilson was like, y'all shooting today?
Let me pull up.
Pull up.
Yo, Bill.
Yeah.
Yo, Sydney. Yo, see, I'm good.
Let me play the preacher.
Well, we got this other guy that we cast over. I'm flipped though. Come on, man. You know me, man. We go back.
I can't believe y'all called me for this in the first place.
Yeah.
But you don't know the script. I don't need to know the script. Uh-huh. Just turn the cameras on.
I'm Reverend, right?
Right.
You don't talk about snitching.
Yeah. Because I felt like I think you're right that like it was made up on the spot because I was waiting for the message to connect. Like it felt like a ramble. Like it wasn't. Right. It was no message.
There was no message.
It was no message that was supposed to be said. It was just like, just keep talking. Just keep cooking. Like it, you know, I was trying to think. Like, is what he's saying is because you know Bill Cosby's character keep talking his way in and out of stuff. Like, is this a message for him? Nah. Like it
did not make the. It,
was
nah.
he talking to Silky Slim and Geechee Dan? Nah. Like you know, this fool was just talking.
Who was he talking to?
He just was talking
because even the Geechee Dan and Silky Slim, they was like.
Right. He was just and talking.
I feel like. Because of it was a budget situation. Because why are they meeting at the church?
Yeah,
you can meet at another public spot.
Yeah,
not the church.
That's a lot of people, you know, to be bringing in a suitcase of you know of Jews just to throw it in the trunk later. But I mean, like, it worked. It's like
all that stuff worked. Yeah. I had no problem with any of it.
Yeah.
You know, question. If we tried that right now in 2023,
mm-hmm.
like I'm saying, literally do the same movie over.
Yeah.
Same shot, same scene, church scene.
Yeah.
Suitcase,
yeah.
car, different actors, obviously, but like, could it still work?
Yeah.
I think it could. I think it's funny enough and their performances were engaging enough to where we wouldn't even give a damn that... That we never saw the kids or... Mm-hmm.
This is going to feel like I'm pandering to you, but I'm not.
Okay.
Right? I think that it could be done, but it could only be done with social media-based content creators. And I tell you why.
Huh.
If Hollywood does it, it's going to be too Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Hart will be attached to it. It'll be like Kevin Hart and Mike Epps, and it'll be it'll be studio notes. It'll be a gang of studio notes.
For sure.
It's gonna be studio noted out. The actors aren't gonna be really hungry. If it is an ensemble cast, like, you're not gonna get everybody. I think that, like, if it was done in like an episodic, like, web-based series, and you had guys coming in playing characters. Like, right. Oh shit, that's Jahan Jones. Oh shit, you know what I mean? That's, you know, such and such and such. Like, then it's just like, okay, it's funny. And then there's a caper, you know, kind of element to follow the episode. I know you got a laundry list of projects that you're working on, but I think you should really think about, like, if you could do an 8-part, you know, Uptown Saturday Night, or South Central Saturday, or whatever it is. Because the thing
Uptown Saturday Night could be easily, that could be L.A.
It could be L.A.
too sometimes.
And the thing is that you just need a caper, right? Like, you know, like, it doesn't have to be super, you know what I mean? Like, over the top. These guys are literally just trying to get a lottery ticket back. Like, I think it could be done.
Yeah.
But I think if it were to be done, I would want it to be done the same way it was done originally, which is scrappy, low budget.
And the crazy thing about it is, you're right.
Yeah, entrepreneurial.
And Bill Cosby was 37.
Yeah.
And your boy Sidney was 47.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It's perfect.
Uh-huh.
It was perfect, right? Like, they were senior statesmen. So I'd love to see it done, but I don't want the studios to get it. I don't want Netflix to get it.
Yeah.
I don't want Prime to get it.
If Netflix get, here's the thing. I get what you're saying, but you said Kevin Hart and Mike Epps.
You know, I'm just throwing
that
two names
out
there.
That would be dope, though, to me.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. I'd rather do it. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted, but I think that seeing, I think, matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, Kevin Hart's in the new Caper movie.
Okay.
He's in a new movie. It's almost like Ocean's 11, though. Kind of like.
Ah, okay.
Is it a trailer?
I just saw the trailer
yesterday, I think.
Okay, I got to peep it.
And I was like, okay, this is, if he starts doing movies like this again, he can win the people who kind of like, I mean, he's the biggest comedy, he's the biggest comedian in the game still.
Yeah.
But there's some people who don't feel he's as funny as he used to be. And he's a little watered down now.
Right.
Then he did the show with Wesley Snipes, which I loved, which kind of brought him back.
Yeah, yeah.
And this new movie, it seems a little stronger than like his typical Will Ferrell stuff he does.
Yeah. If you put people together, put them together and let them be them.
Yeah.
Like, let them cook or let them play characters, right? Like Richard Pryor is in it, but Richard Pryor is playing a character.
Right.
And you let him work. Right? So, like, do the cameos, let everybody get a check, you know.
Right.
Do that type of stuff. The only thing is that, like, I think Uptown Saturday Night works because it's low budget. If it has too much budget and it features too many stars, it gets to be, the only time I've seen that movie work is Ocean's 11, right?
Yes.
You know, where you had, like, it was big budget, you had a lot of stars, and you kind of let them cook. Like, if you do it, the improv and the jokes have to be funny. The studio, try to get the studio out of it as much as possible, you know, and let these guys go. That would work for me.
Right. I think it's a combination of both. You mentioned something earlier about, like, Jahan Jones and having social media guys in there.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you're just throwing names out there. Which I could do, which I would do. But sometimes when I watch a movie, like, especially nowadays with, like, Hollywood, what they would do is get a popular social media guy. Hence Candy Cane Lane with DC Young Fly, which I thought was a terrible choice.
Right.
I saw a clip of him in a Christmas Story. It's a movie that I haven't seen it yet, but it came out years ago.
Who's in it?
Monique, him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Almost Christmas. Almost Christmas.
Yeah.
And I saw there was a quick scene with him and Monique
when
he was flirting with her. He was sitting next to her at the table.
Yeah.
I thought that was dope. I haven't seen the whole movie.
Right.
I haven't seen his whole performance, but that scene, I'm a nuanced guy, and I can quickly tell if something's good or not.
Yeah.
I said, oh, this might be, his character might be good. I like, he's a younger dude flirting with Monique's character.
Yeah.
And I liked it. And she kept threatening him. I'm gonna cut you, man. You better leave me alone. I'm a grown ass woman. He said to me, I will stab you with this fork. He said, I would love that. it just seems smooth.
Yeah.
He seems like, oh, this guy can act. He seemed in the moment, in the character.
You got to do a character with this dashiki. Right? Like, you got to like, I'm looking at you in the dashiki, and I'm thinking back to the congressman. I'm thinking back to I'm going to get you, sucker. Uh-huh. Right? And I'm just like, man, I want to see Ja just wild out. Like, you know. But it's almost kind of like the character that wears the dashiki has to be a closet Uncle Tom.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Right?
Like,
yes.
He, like, or just like over the top, you know.
It, so here's, remember when I said, when I introduced this film, I said this movie is one of the, I mean, there's so many black exploitation films, but this is Bill Cosby, Richard Pryor. This is very pioneerish.
Yeah.
Like, because you think about the dashiki, fast forward to Keenan Ivory Wayans and I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, when he went to.
This movie, there's a direct line from this movie to that.
Exactly.
Direct
think
line.
Think about Keenan again in Don't Be a Menace. Chris Spencer's character with the dashiki.
No.
Hey, hey, sister, how you doing? Can you take that white girl for me?
Yeah, yeah.
Milk of Magnesia? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
He was, or Ferry Convict. One fish, two fish.
Red fish, two fish.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
Like, that. These guys, like, you could tell his, Keenan Ivory Wayans was very much influenced by these type of films.
He probably watched this movie a thousand times.
Yeah, so hence my comedy, I feel like I'm very influenced by the Keenan Ivory Wayans, the Martins.
It's interesting because, like, this movie, if we think about the movies that came out in 74, and we did Coolie High, like the two movies that we've kind of done in that era, we done Coolie High and now we've done this one. But this one was fun. You know, like a lot of the other, you know, blaxploitation movies, like, you know, The Mac and some of those other ones, you know, are you know, Fighting the Man.
Yeah.
But this movie was fun.
It was
light. And I read a quote from Sidney. He said, like, he wanted all the black people to look upstanding. So if you notice, like, there isn't like a ghetto in this movie. Mm-hmm. There's no hood in this movie, right? Like,
even the hood people are the players.
Yes.
The shaker, the movers and shakers of the city.
And we don't even spend a ton of time with them. We spend some time with Geechee Dan and his crew and Silky Slim, but it's just like, but even they're like elite.
Yeah.
And you know, Silky Slim goes, you got no class, right?
You got no
class. You know, so it's just like, it's a portrayal that's still very much authentically black, but they kept a lot of the other blaxploitation stereotypes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, it's his own kind of like unique.
Ain't no junkies.
Thing. Ain't no junkies.
Ain't no, ain't really no winos. Even when you were going to a bar, folks are just having a drink.
Yeah. Wasn't no hoes.
Wasn't no hoes.
Right.
There was they insinuated happiness. They're talking about gambling.
But it was a madam. It's a difference between
madam,
like a hoe and a madam, right?
Yeah, we hear it's a gentleman's club. You hear, have a good time.
The preacher wasn't stereotypical.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, he was rambling, but he was.
But he wasn't a con.
Yeah, he wasn't a con man. He wasn't full of shit.
He was up there preaching.
What did he call it? No happy juice? No,
He said, dang. He said no something juice.
Yeah, it was
no
very
loose juice or something.
No loose juice or something. But it was very clear.
Yeah,
as like, man, don't be bringing no drink.
Don't
to,
be bringing
to the
no,
picnic.
No brown paper bags and stuff up in here.
Yeah, I liked everything about the picnic except for there was one dish. It might have been like the
was it green?
Yeah, the green with the green beans and the
oh, it was
hog moss.
Hog moss. But I was like, that looked like a real plate.
It looked
like a real.
The cookout was legit.
The ribs,
except for that one dish. The ribs was amazing.
The ribs were amazing. The turkey, the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything was, but that with the green beans.
And the way she put it on there, it was like slot. Slopped it on there.
I didn't want that. I thought that I thought that the hoods hanging out at the church picnic was a little unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, even if they were going to be there, they weren't going to be participants. They weren't going to be.
They was having.
They was playing baseball. They was doing the sack race.
And why was Harry so slavish? Why was he?
Right. Yeah. Like, there was, like, he was a caricature.
Silky Slim was like, I when he when when uh Silky Slim, the way they introduced him, mm-hmm. when the whole crew parted way, yeah. and he walked through.
Yeah, smooth.
He walked in. It was yeah. dark. His face was dark. Yeah. And he came to the light.
Yeah, yeah.
That was dope. Even with Geechee Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, he walked up in
they
there.
They started out cool.
He at the table.
Yeah.
He said, "What you want?" Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Man, Mr. Geechee," mm-hmm. and he told him what he wanted. He said, "Man, get out of my face.
Yeah, get up out of here. Yeah,
like
at that point, he's playing it well. But you're right, like when he's playing baseball and he's, I'm a steal second on you, sucker. You know what I mean? Like just like at this point, he kind of becomes kind of clownish. Then they put the wig on him and have like at that point, I get it. The joke is funny." Or would have been
funny at the time. It's 1974, so I stalled them on that.
But now these guys are no longer like the bad.
Now they're not scary.
Yeah, they're not scary no more.
The super dark skinned henchman.
Yeah,
he stayed in character the whole time.
That nigga. Yeah. The dark skinned killers was killing.
even when they got found out, they was running from the police. He had the wig on still.
Yeah. You know, and at that point, like that's what, like the movie kind of gets a little bit ridiculous. With like, you got Sidney Poitier on the top of the car, hitting niggas with hammers, like and
the way they knock, the way they get knocked out, they're like, boom, boom.
right. That part
we probably had to make those hits more realistic in 2024. Can you knock somebody out with a hammer? Yes, but they're gonna be like, boom.
Right. They go slowly slump. Right.
Yeah.
He broke every window in the car, like every window in the car. Couldn't you guys have just like maybe pulled over and just got out and shot him?
Yes.
Right. Like, wasn't that a better solution than just keep pulling?
Swaying.
One more before we get into awards. Where was this movie shot? I felt like. There were times where I'm like, are they in downtown L.A. or are they in Harlem? I feel like all the outdoor, like that park felt like Griffith Park or something like that. Like, I felt like it was maybe shot across coast.
And it said Chicago, right?
Uh-huh.
And at first I was like, is this New York or is this L.A.? And then I saw Harold's Chicken. I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
That's Chicago.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, so.
So there were some.
The scene where when he came outside, when Steve Jackson came outside of his apartment and was sitting down with the guys playing cards, and then Bill Cosby pulled up with the cab,
mm-hmm.
that looked like a studio. That looked like Universal Studios.
Universal right lot. There. Right. Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out where this movie, was shot.
Right.
Because I swear, and I know they have parks, I sometimes forget that like outside of Manhattan. There are suburbs in New York and parks and all kinds of stuff. So it could have easily been shot. But I felt like even like the last scene, I was like, man, they're coming through the canyon. That's Topanga Canyon. You know what I mean? Like, when they was, because that bridge I feel like is a common bridge in L.A. The bridge that they throw the loot off of and that ultimately, Harold, like I've seen that bridge in a lot of movies that were shot in L.A. So it wouldn't surprise me, right? Like, these guys are two coastal guys. But that was just another, like, where was this movie actually shot?
Yeah, it might have been shot in various places.
Yeah.
More than one state.
Let's get into some awards.
Some awards, man.
Who's the MVP? Who's your MVP of Uptown Saturday Night?
I want to say Wardell.
Yeah.
I want to say Wardell.
It's easy.
But then again, he's the reason why Steve Jackson got stole. I mean, got his.
That wasn't his fault. He was trying to take his boy out for, for a drink. It just was a circumstance.
He said, man, this is his Zenobius.
Yeah.
Bro, we can't do that. We ain't got no money.
I mean, he was about to put some money in his pocket because they was holding. At that point, they was letting it ride every time. Whatever, like, Steve wasn't pulling off, they was letting ride. So, if he didn't go to Zenobia's, then he would have had his wallet, da-da-da-da. But at the same time—
And then there's no movie.
Then there's no movie.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it's almost kind of like if you invite me out someplace and I go and coincidentally I lose my wallet or something happens, it's not your fault. Like, you didn't set me up.
We didn't expect to get robbed.
You
can get robbed outside your house coming from your car.
And, you know, Wardell could have easily been like, that ain't my problem. But Wardell was like,
I'll help you find it.
I'm going to help you find it.
He went to jail for it and got mad. I'm like, bro, we got to hire some professionals,
but
man.
But stayed the course.
And still was like, well, I helped you get into Zenobius, mm-hmm. and we got robbed. I'm going to help you get your wallet back.
Right.
Follow my lead. He's still the first to go in every door.
And first to go in every door. And it is Wardell that, like, tries to talk them out of trouble. It's Wardell that comes up with the whole heist that the two African guys are the guys with the diamonds,
mm-hmm.
and get the envelope. You know what I mean? And this. So it's Wardell's
MVP.
MVP.
Sure.
Like, he's the one that makes it all work. He's the funniest one,
mm-hmm.
you know, out the movie. He's like
Sydney.
Awesome.
Sydney is the one that's like, I gotta get this ticket back, this wallet back. I have to. So he started off with the caper. He started off with the energy,
mm-hmm.
on, we gotta find this wallet. We gotta hit the streets and put our ears to the streets and find out who knows anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he started off. But the glue and the base of their plans is Wardell.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Uh-huh.
Who's the LVP?
Big Percy.
Big Percy is the LVP.
He was big. All he did was crush a stool.
Yeah, that's right.
And give Lil Seymour a lift into throwing them on Steve. But he didn't hurt nobody. He didn't beat nobody up. Or Geechee Dan.
Yeah,
because I feel like the bad guy could have just been Silky Slim.
I feel like the informant that they have at the picnic, the guy that's walking around, and they like point us out, you know, to him or whatever, and you know, and they looking at him and giving him the neck or whatever. Like, you came all this way, just say there they go right there and get in your protective custody, right? Like, you know, he was all.
But
that.
He didn't point him out.
He didn't point him out. He said, they'll kill me. And then he ran away. So it was just kind of like, man, like, you know, did you need him for that? Like,
and really, really, you're supposed to say, point him out from the back of the car. Hey, look through the window.
Yeah.
That's him.
Right. And am I supposed to believe that, like, you guys have no idea what Geechee Dan looks like? Like, you got no clue?
And Geechee Dan Buford and Silky Slim.
Right. Like, you got the government names. Like, they ain't got no rap sheet. They ain't never been arrested. There's no mugshot that you can, you know, refer them to. Mm-hmm. Like, are we really supposed to think that, like, these guys that are these big crime guys that run the city, you have no idea what they look like?
Yeah. Nah. Unless you're Avon Barksdale.
Well, then, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah, but that's a specific thing, and that was a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, he literally stayed in the house in real life. Like, that character, mm-hmm. That in real life was a person they didn't even know. They knew who Stringer Bell was. They knew all the other guys around
Avon. Right, but they didn't know.
Because he stayed in the house.
He was tight. Mm-hmm. Okay, so on a scale of 5, all-time classic to 1, black movie, how does Uptown Saturday Night rank?
5 for me, because it's one of the blueprints. It's not, for example, you got Dolomite, you got The Mac, you got these different movies, you got Uptown Saturday Night.
Yeah, yeah.
You got, and it falls in the same category as those type of films.
Yeah,
Superfly. You know what I'm saying? Willie Dynamite.
You need to see it.
You
got
to see that.
Because
even to me, even 1974, that's literally. Sure, what's that? My math.
Mm-hmm.
So 2004 would be 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're in 24.
Yeah, so we're talking about
40 years?
40 years.
Yeah.
40 years. No, 50 years.
50 years.
50 years.
50 years, yeah.
And it's still, I didn't bust up laughing, but I kind of did.
Yeah.
I laughed throughout the whole way.
Yeah.
And I saw the funny in it, and I feel like, that's a movie. Does it need to be redone at all? No.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was to redo that film, I think it would be funny. And you mentioned Kevin Hart and Mike Epps. That's not a bad idea,
right?
Mike and Kevin would be the straight man.
See, the thing
but the studios can't touch it.
Yeah, I start to appreciate legacy, mm-hmm. right? And to me, you know, Uptown Saturday Night is a part of the legacy of black films, right? So don't go fucking with the legacy unless you're about to really do this movie justice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you just going to studio it
out. House Party 1.
If, exactly.
The reboot. House Party was.
Yeah. Like, do that movie. But don't do it. Don't touch the legacy, though. Like, yeah. you know, like, if you're going to touch some of our hallowed and most, you know, appreciated and beloved films, know that you're dealing with fine china and royalty right. and do everything. So my fear is that if somebody's going to do something called Uptown Saturday Night and leverage the legacy to try to sell some tickets and not, like, you know, do the film justice, not right. like do it 100%. Just do another movie. Just right. do Bank Heist or, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
trying to get this dough, whatever it is.
Right. Trying to get, like, this dough.
Leave it alone.
Part one.
I'm giving Uptown Saturday Night a 5
mm-hmm.
because at first I was going to give it a 4 mm-hmm. because A Piece of the Action is my favorite of the trilogy. Mm-hmm. And so, but there's no reason why they both can't be 5, right? Like, you
right,
know,
right,
so if A Piece of the Action is 5, Uptown Saturday Night is 5 as well. I think that A Piece of the Action might be my, no, let's do it again.
Let's
as
do
the
it
second
again.
One.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Second one.
You know, my man Mondo Slade.
Mondo Slade.
But yeah, I think that, like, this movie is worth the watch. You know, my wife hadn't seen it, and I was like, you know, you should watch it with me. And she was like, I don't know. And she afterwards, she was like, I'm so glad you showed me that movie. That was so fun.
To see, it's yeah. a, well, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Keep Anybody going. That loves Bill Cosby and loves Sidney, come on, it's required watch.
So you're looking at Bill Cosby, and this, for the record, Sidney Poitier is the first Denzel Washington.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Him, a mixture of Denzel and Harry Belafonte.
Yes.
Those two guys make up what Denzel Washington is today.
100%.
Bill Cosby is what Martin is. What is what Mike Epps is. Is what Kevin Hart is.
Uh-huh.
Like Damon Wayans is. Like Jamie Foxx is. I can easily see this. Like Booty Call could have been this.
Right. Yeah.
Booty,
yeah.
Booty Call, a caper. It was no caper, but it was like a night. Then hitting the town,
yeah,
and just doing all kind of getting into all kind of crazy shit at the hospital. Tommy Davidson almost getting surgery on them,
uh-huh.
all kind of things they were going through. Going to the liquor store and running into the Bernie Mac's character. It was like
it's like
very similar.
I'll take your example. Booty Call is Tommy Davidson and Jamie Foxx, yes. right? So imagine that, like, Jamie Foxx goes on to do family movies. And that's all he does, right?
Yeah.
Or let's mm-hmm. flip it to, like, what might be more realistic. Tommy Davidson goes on to become America's Dad. And yeah. all he does is America's Dad stuff. Meanwhile, Jamie goes on to become one of the most beloved and, you know, esteemed.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
prestige black right. actors of all time.
Uh-huh.
But they both came from Booty Call, right? right. Like, you know, like,
yes.
that's what...
Sidney Poitier
mm-hmm.
and Bill Cosby were Wardell Franklin
yeah.
and Steve Jackson.
Yes.
And Uptown Saturday Night.
Yep.
And we would have never guessed that.
We would have never.
Because I wasn't born that era. I didn't go to the movie theater and watch that movie.
You would never have guessed that Wardell would have been like, you know, that guy, he's going to become America's Dad. Right? Like, you know.
He's going to become Heathcliff Huxtable.
He's going to be Heathcliff Huxtable.
Yeah.
And he's going to have maybe the most popular sitcom. And he's going to get ridiculous numbers and mm-hmm. black people and white people and everybody's going to fucking love him.
Right.
You would never have predicted that, right?
No.
So that's why this movie,
yes.
this is like origin story, you know what I mean, stuff. Like, yeah. get a look. If you're not, like, in the Cosby, I mean, I think that anybody that's listening to this podcast, watching this podcast, like, you fuck with black film, you right. need to have watched this, right?
Yes.
Even if it, like, predates you.
Yeah.
But anybody that's, like, seen an episode of The Cosby Show and you haven't watched this, like, you're on the clock, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, you need to complete the story
just yeah.
by seeing this movie.
So we're going to do all three because it's Uptown Saturday Night Live, Uptown Saturday Night.
Uh-huh.
And let's do it again.
And A Piece of the Action.
And A Piece of the Action.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch all three. We're going to black bust the next two over the next
yeah.
going into the new year, going to the 2024, you'll see these two films get talked about as well.
I love it.
Yeah, man. Five Black Fists for me.
Yeah, five for me.
Yes, indeed.
Easy.
Harry Belafonte, Bill Cosby, mm-hmm. Flip Wilson, Richard Pryor, Calvin Lockhart. That's why it's a five.
Yeah.
Because they did it dope. It was funny. And it's the same as these other films we watched of our era.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker go into the pool hall in Rush Hour.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll give you one more before we sign off.
Uh-huh.
Runner up for MVP. My girl Leggy Peggy.
Leggy Peggy. She was smooth on the dice.
She was smooth.
On the dice.
She was smooth on the dice.
Yeah. Shake them up. Shake them up. Yeah. Shake them up. Shake them.
Just like, man, she just seemed like just a joy to be around. Mm-hmm. Went, brother.
What's up?
What's up? What you doing here? Right.
And she wasn't selling sex.
No.
She was just sexy.
She was just sexy.
And just a homegirl.
And having a blast. A homegirl. Right. That is,
and she's just a girl next door. Remember, she put her leg up on the table, and
yeah.
It was like,
right.
Yeah, Peggy, you got it.
Yeah,
and she's not trying to flirt.
Nope,
she got her dude right here.
Yeah,
and her dude was like, baby, you being too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you ain't just you the homegirl, but mm-hmm. you also sexy, Lady yeah. Peggy.
It's called don't put your business out in the street.
Uh-huh.
She corrected the square bear ass husband I got. This uh-huh. nigga,
this right. nigga. This.
I love it.
Leggy Peggy. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good runner up. She's
her name Paula mention. Kelly, man. Shout out to Paula Kelly.
Yeah. Awesome.
Real quick.
Yeah.
This is why Steve Jackson was into Madame Zenobia.
Mm-hmm.
Him and she looked like his wife.
She did look like his wife.
Mm-hmm.
She did. Yeah. And so that's what I think. I'm glad you brought mm-hmm. that up because I was thinking about, like, I love the part where he was talking about her buns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And her body yes. and pressing up yeah. on her. Even though it seemed like really out of character for Steve.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because he didn't, like, for him to have been, like, that into buns and all of that, he would have hopped at the idea of going to Zenobia's.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it feels a little bit, like, you know, out of character and out of place. But it also makes sense that, like, he had that connection. The way yeah. he was looking, like, man, you look like my wife. You look exactly yeah. like my wife. Same complexion.
Same
kind of like shape. You know what I uh-huh. mean? Like, you know, you kind of like the same
look,
gaps
too.
In the teeth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know.
I say, is that the same baby girl?
Yeah. She yeah. looked just like her.
Yeah.
And the thing was that normally in a movie like this, the wives would have tried to put the kibosh on what they was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the wives, low-key, was like, get that money.
Get that bread.
Like, uh-huh. you know, what y'all got going on? They like, uh-huh. we're trying to get the ticket. Okay, fuck it.
She was like, no, baby, I got to get that money. $50,000. Mm-hmm. She's just, okay.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
You got to get that. She want the money, too.
Hey, and Irma. I like Irma.
Irma was
looking a little sexy.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
She a little mean.
But Vordell needs somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, baby girl. He said, oh, baby, Call down to the office.
Mm-hmm.
Call down to your office and say it's being burglarized.
Yeah.
What? Baby, just do what I ask.
You know,
when it's all said and done,
yeah.
she going to do what her man asked.
I mean, and that was the big joke about, you know, Wardell having to sneak out, you know what I mean, after his wife got to sleep. He was like, man, you need help husband.
You got to sneak out.
Yeah, right.
What time you want to leave?
But Wardell had to sneak out too.
He said around 1 o'clock once Irma go to sleep.
Yeah.
right.
Exactly. It was a great joke.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Great movie, man. I loved it, man. Uptown Saturday Night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It was a dope movie. That's it for this week. We'll catch us next time on the next project, on the next movie. This is Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
Jive ass suckers in the world.
In the world.
In the world, jive turkeys.
I'm your host, Big Jive, along with my co-host.
Hollywood Tone.
Slap me some fat.
Yeah.
On the white hand side.
On the black hand side.
Yeah.
Give me some skin,
blood. Young blood.
Yeah. Love it.
Man. That was dope, man. Y'all be cool. Catch us next time, man. Be good or be good at it. We out of here, man. Pew to the max.
Blackbusters.